welcome back to Country Tough with Brandi Von Holt. And today I have another cowgirl with me. Woo! Her name is Gina Cuda. Okay? What a cool name. Four letters. Gina is G-I-N-A and Cuda is K-U-D-A. All right. So, Gina, tell us about your business.
All right. Well, my business is I own a ranch in Russellville, Missouri. I raise black limousine cattle. We're not a huge operation, but we're definitely not tiny. And I don't know, that's pretty much what we do.
Okay, so Gina's been here, and she was like, Brandi, I see you doing all this social media stuff, and I need some help. Okay, so Gina reached out to me and I was like, yeah, sure, most definitely. I can. That's what I do. I love doing that. That's actually one of my personal life goals is to be able to help 1,000 people. Like you are one of my 1,000. Okay. So Gina now has a website that's called Cuda Limousine Ranch. Okay. So for me, it took me forever to be able to spell limousine because it's not spelled the same way as like a car limousine. Okay. So for these, you chose limousine. So tell me why you chose that breed of cattle.
Well, when I was first introduced to limousine, I worked for a veterinary clinic and I was exposed to a lot of different breeds of cattle. And I noticed right away when the limousine breed would walk in because they just had a presence about them. They had the definition, the muscling, the booty. I love seeing big booties on cattle.
Like a big old AQHA horse, right? Like a big quarter horse butt. There's a big old limousine cattle butt.
Right. Okay. And then just their docility. I mean, they were just easier to work with. And that was the first thing I noticed about them. And then the more I watched them and the more I started researching, the more and more I liked what I was reading and seeing about them. And it just grew from there. I mean, I had to own them. I had to start, you know, that's what was my registered breed that I decided to get serious about.
Okay. So I have learned so much about Gina over the last couple of days because she's been here for 2 days. She took advantage of my 2-day in-person coaching, but I learned that she's a first generation cattle rancher. Her and her husband are. So first of all, let's back up. Tell me about this husband. How long have you been married? Tell me about your kiddos.
So my husband and I, we've been married, let me think here.
Since 1993.
So it'll be creeping up on 31 years.
Okay.
We have two boys and, you know, they are grown. I mean, there are, we have to think for a minute, 28 because one just turned 28 and the other one is 26.
Okay.
One lives close by and one lives in Kansas City. It's interesting is that both of them work on, what do I want to say, like the hearts of things, you know, like my younger son, he helps surgeons work on hearts with people, you know, the stents, the balloons. And then my son, my older son, he works on the hearts of cars. So he's a mechanic.
Oh, okay.
You know, both of them are very well in their job. They do very well in their jobs. So I'm very proud of them.
What sports did they play in high school?
Actually, my oldest one was not. He was more into the mechanic and engineering kind of industry.
Okay. So he was a mathlete.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
All right.
And then Seth, he was baseball. His favorite.
Your youngest son was a baseball player. Mm-hmm. What sports did you play in high school?
I didn't. So I grew up with our family. I'm one of seven. Mm-hmm. And my parents said, we don't have time to take you to games.
Yeah. Well, so, with seven kids, I mean, there's not enough time between groceries and laundry and just trying to put food on the table. The rest of that stuff, it is a game. It's a sport at the end of the day. And they were probably just having to make sure that they got lights on and food right. down the hatch.
Right. So, right.
Well, in high school, I was a hurdler.
No, oh, wow.
You'd think I'd be a ground hugger, but I was a hurdler, and then I did some softball early on, and before that, I was in band. Mm-hmm. I played the trumpet. Were nice. You in band?
No.
No band? No choir?
No.
Girl, you were working. You were coming to come home and
I
work.
Was. And that's yeah. what we did. I mean, we had... My dad was a crop farmer, but we did have cattle and hogs because we, well, there were seven of us, so we had mm-hmm. to raise everything that, you know, we could eat. And so,
what kind of row crops did he do?
He did corn, soybeans, wheat, milo. I think that was about it.
Okay. Yep. My dad, we were real close to the Red River around Texas, so he was actually a rice farmer.
Oh, wow.
You know, everybody, a lot of people think he would be Asian, and I'm mm-hmm. like, no. No. There's rice farmed in the United States, you know, right. so like my dad was a rice farmer and then he did soybeans and cattle. And then the thing that took my family away from being a row cropper was in Texas. We had 3 years of drought in a row that just devastated him. Yeah. So then he went into being a semi-truck driver after that and he was gone on the road. Mm-hmm. So... All right, so were you just driving tractors and
yeah. So my job when I was younger was to take care of the herd. And mm-hmm. that's, you know, I'd ride my horse out there. I'd find new calf. And actually, I was banding the calves as soon as they were born. So I turned them into steers. And then, we were out in the field, whatever Dad needed us to do. So we were either pulling weeds or, you know, out of the bean fields, mm-hmm. walking the bean fields or, you know, driving the tractor.
Okay. Well, you know what? I have so many different people that tune into my podcast because it's a three combination of topics we have. I have people that are in the equine industry. Well, cattle is equine, close to it. I mean, it's not equine, but you mm-hmm. have horses also, but mm-hmm. usually those things go pair and pair. Mm-hmm. And then I have a business owner, which you're also in the business owner. And then I have myself talking about a topic. Well, you and I... have been acquaintances and friends for quite some time because yes, you've done horse stuff here mm-hmm. and you've come in trail road. And we used to host AHCA, the American mm-hmm. Horsemen's Challenge Association. And I see that you've got pictures of you doing that mm-hmm. with your horse and obstacles. But I know you've got a heart horse right now, like a horse that is, mm-hmm. it's got your heart. So tell us about your heart horse.
Well, he is an American paint horse. I bought
What's
him,
his name?
His official name is Jose Manukos Cutter, but I just call him Cutter. You know, it's just okay. so easier.
yeah.
But anyways, I had bought him as a yearling. I've had him, he'll be 23. Yeah, he'll be 23 this year. Mm-hmm. And he is probably the only second horse I've owned that has had my heart. He is just, he's special. I mean, he's just, him and I just connect really well. And I just hate to think to have to ever replace him. I don't know if that'll ever happen.
You know, so I've got KTM and I got his mother when I was 8 years old and now he is 19, wow. but I don't think he's going to have a long, long life. Mm-hmm. You know that because he's got a long back and I don't know, and he seems like he's aging fast on me, mm-hmm. and I'm like, no, slow down, little buddy, slow
down. I hate to lose him.
Oh, we do. I mean, like, our horses are part of the family.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I had his mother before I had boobs, you know, before I had to shave, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I've had his mom for a long time, and to think that KTM is her last baby. You know, I wrote a children's book about him, and his book, the main theme is about how having, it's about how one person can make a difference and about how one horse can make a difference, you know? So, mm-hmm. I mean, look at my husband and I have a horse trail riding facility. It's called Von Holten Ranch. And my passion for horses came from KTM's mother. So Silk Chick, her name was Silk Chick Long, and I called her Silk Chick. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Silk Chick just put this passion for equine in me, mm-hmm. you know, to the point that we have this trail riding facility. Like, my life directed me towards having this trail facility because of that love that I had for that horse.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they're part of who we are, mm-hmm. you know. So you have the horse. Do you have any dogs or anything? Any cats? Tell us all about all your animals.
Oh, goodness. So I do. I have three dogs. One is, she'd be, I think, 14 this year. She was a rescue. She's a little, some kind of a mixed breed terrier. If she was a big dog, she'd be scary. And she tries to do it all. She tries to help us herd and everything else. For a little 15-pound dog, she's just like...
She's a charge.
Yeah, she is. She's something else.
Yeah.
And then I have a Aussie Doodle, a standard Aussie Doodle, and she just loves everybody. I mean, she's like the best dog. She was great for when my husband was going through cancer. I mean, she just wanted to love on him, and that's what he needed. And then the newest addition is a little miniature Australian Shepherd. She's a pistol. She's something else. She's got a personality all her own.
Girl, you seen my dog over here. She's fat and sassy, and I have to deworm that dog once a month because she won't stop eating rabbits.
Uh-oh.
I'm like, girlfriend, I can't help her lose weight. Because if I limit dog food, she's just going to get another rabbit. And I'm actually proud of her because she's so fat. I can't believe she can catch them. And I'm just like, go ahead, girl. I love you. Yeah. Showing that chubby animals and can catch things like rabbits. Yeah. So, okay. So tell us now this cattle operation. Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, so my husband and I have bought two bulls from you. We had Gambler, and then you can't keep a bull for forever because if you want to keep your heifers, you can't have daddy and sister doing
or daddy and daughter. Yeah.
Daddy and daughter. That's what I meant. Can't have daddy and daughter doing things. Okay.
Right.
So we end up having to get another bull. So we had Gambler and now we have Cade. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we're on our second bull from you, and my husband loves them. Okay. Because before we bought your bulls, we had a bull that would attack us. I mean, my husband, he had carpal tunnel surgery, and he was sprinting. He had to use that cast to hold on to the top rail of a fence and slingshot himself over because that bull was trying to smear him into the ground, okay?
Oh my.
So my husband's like, we need a gentler bull.
Mm-hmm.
We need something that is docile. Mm-hmm. But then in addition to it having a good disposition, we want those babies to have a low birth weight because it's easier to come on out of mama.
Mm-hmm.
And it's but then after they're born small, we need them to go ahead and get big.
That's
okay?
Right,
because they're sold by the pound.
That's right.
So we need a lot of pounds.
Mm-hmm.
So we found Gina. Mm-hmm. And we knew you from horse competitions, and you're coming here. And then my husband's like, I think that this one's halter broke. And we know you don't halter break all of them.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like, we'd seen that you had been taking them to some shows. We didn't even care what show you went to. We just liked that you took them somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So you got this big old animal that you're leading into a trailer,
mm-hmm.
you know. So mm-hmm. tell us about the genetics and some of the programs and if they're registered. So tell us all. It's time to shine, okay? I want you to tell us the shiny parts of your business.
All right. So the, like I said earlier, the limousine breed has the muscling in it. So that does just, muscle weighs more than fat. So it
what?
Really, so it really is, more, you know, more pounds that you can put on these calves is going to, you know, pay you more in the end. So I wanted to, with my bulls, I wanted to, get out and I wanted to, expose them because they've always say that anybody can have the best thing in the world, but if nobody knows that you have them because you're not getting out, mm-hmm. you know, then it's not doing any good.
Right. So you're showing just to get your
name
bulls
out there.
Known and mm-hmm. people being, so you know, yeah, a little. The ribbons mean something because you're out being exposed and those people at the competitions and the pictures you're taking for social media,
mm-hmm.
it gives you content to talk about and then people are getting to meet you.
Right, right. So I wanted to take bulls out, you know, I wanted to get them exposed. And so the only way you can do that is by halter breaking them.
Mm-hmm.
I start halter breaking them when they're weanlings. And I mean, they're 600-700 pounds when I start doing that.
Yeah.
So it takes a you know, not a lot of time, but a little bit of time.
So if you could think about Halter breaking a sumo wrestler for the first time in your life, that's not small. That's,
no.
That's big.
Yeah, yeah, that's
so
big.
So you're like, okay, let me get them while they're little.
Right, you know? Right, yeah, yeah, because I really don't want to start, you know, when they're 1,000 pounds, 1,200 pounds, you know,
right.
A lot bigger. I don't want to do that, but it helped by Halter breaking them. I've noticed that as they got older, I mean, it was just easier and easier to work with them. So, you know, going through the cattle chute, you know, they're quiet of going into their chute. They are taking their, getting their vaccinations with ease. I mean, they're not making a big fuss. They're just a lot easier to work around. So, which is makes it easier or safer, so to speak, I guess, for the next owner. You know, because you like David, I'd hate you.
And my husband's name is David.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't want David to be chased out of the pen. So right.
With a cast on his arm, trying right. to not die.
Right, yeah. Right. That's horrifying, and I've seen that a lot in my lifetime. You know, of working for a veterinary clinic. You know, of cattle chasing you, and I'm like, I don't want that.
Well, we've had personal friends that got smashed in trailers. You know, we've had cattle farmers that their father died from being stepped on by being smashed. I mean, right. Like, this is a real deal. So, like, we understand that halter breaking him, you're not guaranteeing that it's going to, that they're not going to be a bull, because they're still a bull, but right. You're just trying to make them, you know, it's kind of like, I have a dragon, and I have halter broke the dragon, but it's still a dragon.
That's right.
Yeah, it's still a bull.
Right.
So what kind of registrations do they have?
So they all are registered. All of them are. All of my limousine cattle are registered. Mm-hmm. I do still have a few commercial cows, but which are not papered. But I am with the North American Limousine Association or Foundation.
Foundation, yeah.
So, and then I'm also with the Missouri Limousine Breeders Association, which is the Missouri Limousine is all the breeders in Missouri.
Okay.
That kind of get together, and we have a sale once a year.
Okay.
To, you know, help each other. I mean, all of us are trying to, you know, get more limousine out to people's hands, you know, because it's kind of a, what's the term I want to use? But it's kind of a kept secret, you know, right. It seems like.
Most people just think Angus, Angus, Angus.
Right.
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 And the Angus Breed Association has done a wonderful job of making people love Angus.
Yeah, they've done a great job marketing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They have. Well, in the limousine, I mean, they look like linebackers.
Right.
They're just like, boom,
right.
I'm swole.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just walking around swole. It's a wonderful breed.
Mm-hmm. And they cross really well with the Angus breed. They call them the Limflexes. So, and they are registerable. So, but the limousine breed itself can cross very well with other breeds.
Girl, it's crossing very well with all of our stuff, because the only thing we have registered out there is the bull from you. The rest of ours ain't nothing registered out in our herd. We got a yard sale. We got a yard sale going on in our cattle pasture, but we keep the mamas that produce well, you know, and then we get rid of the ones that don't, and we love our herd. Mm-hmm. It's small but mighty.
Mm-hmm.
So
there's a big breeder in another state that breeds them to dairy cows, to Holsteins.
Okay.
And the reason why they do that is because the limousine breed can put more muscle on those milk cows, you know, you know, the dairy breed, because they don't have, you know, the muscling.
Well, so. And people don't realize how much beef comes from the dairy industry, you know, because the boys are not making milk. Okay.
No.
So we are consuming all of the boys from the dairy farms for beef, you know, so like that's actually very smart on their part.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about the Missouri Cattlemen's Association.
So the Missouri Cattlemen's Association, I'm involved with that. I would have been a past board member in that. So they are always out promoting our, you know, promoting beef, you know, helping the cattlemen in the area. They're also at the Capitol building, you know, fighting for all of us ranchers and farmers. It's a good organization to be involved with.
Yeah. You know what? I think the world that we're trying to live in are trying to get us to eat beef that's grown in a lab. And I'm sorry, but beef is made in a pasture.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Like, no. Mm-mm. That right there is a whole podcast interview all by itself, but I don't want anything to do with that.
No.
So you take, there's another association that you deal with. Well, I don't know if it's an association, but it's a program, and it's called the Show Me Select. So tell us about Show Me is because Missouri is the Show Me State.
Correct.
So tell us all about the Show Me Select.
So the Show Me Select program was something that we got involved in. It's been, I think, 4 years now. There again, you know, looking for ways to promote the limousine breed. And we went to a few Show Me Select sales to kind of see what it's all about. That's the main thing, you know, you want to do is, at least I do, is I go see something before I put myself out there, you know. So we went to go see some of the sales, and some of the sales were, they were majority Angus. So we're like, okay, well, you know, we need to get, you know, our limousine breed out there because, you know, it's going to help their Angus breed. You know, it's going to put more pounds, you know, on them Angus, you know, to help with sales. So
tell us in general, what are some criteria? Because that right there is like trying to be the cream of the crop, right? Mm-hmm. The Show Me Select. So tell me about some of the criteria that they have.
So the Show
Me. And I know you're not a spokesman or a spokeswoman for them. So just in general.
Sure. So the Show Me Select, what their main goal is to have a quality heifer that will have a calf and raise that calf. I mean, that was their main, is their main goal. I mean, their main goal is to have, you know, low birth weight is a criteria, you know, that the bulls have to be, there's a specific number that these bulls have to be on calving ease, and then also, you know, enhanced, genomically enhanced. And then, you know, they have to, that, but that's their main goal is for a quality heifer to have a low birth weight calf and to be able to raise that calf and breed back.
Okay, so it's all about the future and having and not passing down bad genes,
right.
You know, because you don't want a calf that comes out weighing like, what, 250 pounds or like that.
Yeah.
That's a lot of pushing. All the girls out there that just heard me say that are like,
Right.
There's not one mama in the world that wants to have a 250-pound baby.
Right.
I mean, maybe a whale that's the size of a bus, you know?
Yeah.
And then I bet she'd still be like, it can't weigh 200, you know, she'd probably still want it to be smaller. So tell me a little bit about what do you feed, or do you have special grasses? What do you do for like your pasture management?
We do rotational grazing. That is a huge benefit when it's drought. That's when you're going to see the best benefit of having rotational grazing. So it's very important to do that. Also, you know, I worked with Stover Mill is one I worked with as far as nutrition, you know, of getting, talking to them, telling them, you know, what my goals are. And so they, you know, work with the nutritionist there to help, you know, reach the goals that I'm looking for.
Okay. So let's talk about crazy stuff. Okay.
Okay.
So what has been, have all of your, I don't know, tell me some crazy stuff in general. I don't even know what to ask you.
Well, when I started to work at the veterinary clinic, you know, we work at the clinic, we probably 50% of it was large animals. So, you know, it's exposed to a large animal a lot. There was a lot of things that I saw that I've never seen before in my life, you know, and one of them that comes to mind, we had to do a C-section on a cow because it was, there's a scientific name for it, but it's basically an inside out calf.
Oh, okay.
Never saw anything like that
in my life. Like the organs were outside of the body?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, it was like somebody just turned this calf inside out.
Oh, you know? Man.
Yeah, it was just, it was the weirdest thing I ever saw. When they pulled it out, you know, from the C-section, it looked like him.
You know, something happened.
Alien pod or something, you know, something really freaky. But then when you start to cut it open, then we can see that there was a calf that was just like, turned
bless
inside out.
Heart. Girl, we have seen some things here. Like my mule this year had an abscess in a tooth, and it made the tooth grow through his jaw, and it broke his jaw. Had to have that tooth removed. So that happened. And then couple of years back, I had a horse that I bred, or that I had bred, and she had twins, but we even had her ultrasounded, and you couldn't tell because they were perfectly lined up. So that right there was, I was like, what? Because one of them went ahead and came on out, and then we took her to the vet to just get her cleaned out, make sure everything was fine. Then there was another baby in there, but it didn't make it. Mm-hmm. So anyways, that's about the weirdest things that we have seen. With our trail riding facility, you know, the stuff that we see, like some of the like accidents and things like that are just, you know, things that you wouldn't expect. Like a person that wore a helmet every time, he forgot to put his helmet on, and then his friend was going to hand him the helmet, and then the horse was like, what is trying to attack me?
Yeah.
And we're like, what is wrong with you?
Right, you know, right. So, yeah.
Anyways, and then crazy accidents before. One, I had a lady that had, she had gotten hurt, and you know what it was? It was the simplest thing. She went to get on, and a lot of times people, when they've got one leg in the stirrup, but when that horse moves, and the horse just took like one step forward, but then she ended up coming back, and my goodness, that just wrecked her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the most simple thing sometimes will mess people up.
Mm-hmm.
We had a horse one time that we have an obstacle association called Country Tough Trail Versatility, and we don't allow people to walk on tarps. Okay. Well, I had a clinician here one time, and they were practicing just like desensitizing, and they did have a tarp. And this horse got that tarp stuck underneath its hoof.
Oh, no.
Well, then it's something's chasing it. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. We look like bowling pins. All of the horses were like, I'm mm-hmm. out of here. I mean, my horse did like a complete 360. I about came off, and like right. it was just rough, and it was like some basic stuff.
Yeah. So, yeah
anyways,
things can happen. I mean, accidents happen. I mean, oh, it's yeah. like the other day I was, you know, feeding the cattle with the skid steer and the hay forks, and I stepped off the skid steer and I banged my knee so bad, no matter amount of rubbing or walking, I wanted to vomit because it hurt so bad. But girl. You know, things happen because you know, I was like, what in the world happened there?
Well, I'll tell you, as an aging cowgirl, you know, like a lot of people that know me, I've done competitive fighting. Like I've fought in 5 countries as a heavyweight. So I've done a lot of banging. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like before, that's what I moved to this state for, was I was trying to go to the Olympics as a heavyweight fighter. And I mean, I have fought some chicks that was like 6'6". Oh, and wow. I mean, and I'm actually a very short heavyweight, but I'm a mean and aggressive heavyweight. So it works out, right? Girl, all that damage that I've done and all that, I've never gotten seriously injured with knees or hips or anything like that. Girl, I turned my desk chair and hit my knee on the freaking leg of my table. Oh, my gosh. It wrecked me. I thought I was going to have to be on a cane. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
You know, I had a friend before that was in the roofing industry. All of that time on these steep freaking grades of roof. And then they were on top of an air conditioner and just went to jump down. You know, an air conditioner right. is only like, what, belly button high?
Right.
Blew out his knee,
oh,
hurt,
man.
Like crushed some of his vertebrae. And I was like, man. Dude, he was like, I can't believe I spent a life on top of a roof.
Right.
And this air conditioner took me out.
Right.
And so that's the way I felt about the desk. I was like, you got to be kidding me. This thing, I mean, like that leg ended up getting way weaker. And then I had to do almost like a year of trying to get that leg strengthened because I had babied it. And then the muscle had like, mm-hmm. you know, went away.
Atrophied. Yeah.
Like it just, I don't like getting older.
Yeah. Yeah. No, things hurt. It seems to hurt more.
Oh, the recovery time is so freaking slow.
Yeah.
So you're pretty buff. So tell us about some things that you do. Because you work out in the gym, or you do Jen's Get Fit group, right?
I do. I do Jen's Get Fit. And perfect program for me because I like to lift mm-hmm. weights. And the reason why I lift weights and do that program is so I can continue to do what I do on the farm. Because I'm lifting, you know, hay bales. I'm lifting, you know, buckets of feed and water. And
you're manhandling 1,800-pound bulls.
Right. Well, not quite that big, but yeah. Yeah. You know, I am. I mean, I'm manhandling, you know, animals that are a lot bigger than I am. And I want to be able to continue to do that. Mm-hmm. So I've got to exercise, you know, to be able to continue to do that so I can recover. If I do get, you know, pull something, I recover faster.
Right. Well, every female needs to be working on muscle.
Yes.
I mean, I think if you are over 35 and you have not started some kind of training, mm-hmm. not just walking, all that, you've got to have muscle.
Right.
I mean, we're not talking about, you don't have to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger, okay?
Right.
Plus, you wouldn't. But, you know, diet is how you lose weight, but mm-hmm. exercising is how you look good naked. If you don't know that, I'm just going to go ahead and let you know. That's a secret right there.
Yeah.
So, what are some of the shows that you take some of your animals to?
So I'll be getting ready for the Cattlemen's Field Day in June. That's kind of a big deal. That is a precursor to the state fair. So that's kind of the start for the ones that are going to be at the state fair. I don't compete at the state fair because I just don't want to be spending a week to, you know, up yeah. there. It's just a lot of time. So, but we'll be at the field day in June. And
how long does it take you to prep for that? 3 months?
You've got to be thinking, you know, 6 months ahead.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Six months. That's yeah. awesome.
Yeah. I mean, right. The ones I'm going to be taking are weaning. So they're weaning right now, but I've already had them picked out, you know, at a young age that mm-hmm. you guys are going to be going to the state, you know, yeah. to the field day. So now they're weaned. I'm already prepping them. I'm already speeding up the process, you know, of getting them halter broke and, you know, getting them going and you know, ready for that field day. Because it just takes a little time to get them used to everything. And then after the field day, then we usually hit the, you know, county fair. We like to get out in front of the locals. Mm-hmm. And then after that, we go down to Springfield, Missouri, to the Farm Fest.
Okay.
So we'll spend a few days down there.
So three big things then. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, so you have the field day, then you have your local one, mm-hmm. which is, was that Montauk County?
Correct.
Okay. And then you have Ozark Fest. Is that
Farm Fest.
Farm mm-hmm. Fest. Farm Fest that's in Springfield.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, people don't realize how much prep work is done in anything.
Right.
Okay. Like, I got picked up as a presenting clinician this year for the Midwest Horse Fair, and there's like 65,000 people at that, and I'm doing 8 1-hour-long presentations over mounted archery
oh, wow.
with my mule, and 5 of them is an hour of me actually shooting, okay?
Oh, wow.
Well, just because it's a thumb release. Most people that do archery, it's a 2 or a 3-finger draw. This is actually a thumb release, and it's a Korean recurve. It doesn't have a shelf. It's a whole new world.
Right.
Don't you dare close your eyes. That's what I feel like whenever I have to explain it to people. Is mm-hmm. it makes me think of that Aladdin song
yeah.
where they're flying around on the rug. It makes me think of that song. Like, yeah, it's a whole new world, guys. But I've been prepping for that for forever,
mm-hmm.
and I can shoot fire from my mule. Well, that's not just like, oh, I can shoot fire from my mule. No, we have to practice because it's a longer arrow. There's weight mm-hmm. at the end of it. It's basically like I have to learn how to shoot completely like a different
from the
style.
Beginning.
Yeah, mm-hmm. because it's just different. I mean, it's weighted and longer and it's on fire mm-hmm. and you're running. But Wisconsin was not able to get the fire approved because not only did they have to get the projectile weapon approved, but then fire on top. It was just too much.
Wow.
So it took me 6 years to get this finally approved.
Wow.
So talk about prep.
Right.
Like, oh, my gosh. But
yeah.
So tell me, what are some things that you're wanting to what are you wanting to do with your herd? Are you wanting to get bigger? Are you just wanting to get where you have a waiting list?
Mm-hmm,
like,
right.
What's your ultimate goal there?
I would like to expand. I just not get huge, you know, because I still want to keep it personal, you know, mm-hmm. I still want to be very involved, you know, so I want to be a little bit bigger, but not huge. And, you know, my goal is to always be looking ahead, you know, we try to plan, you know, a year and a half ahead, mm-hmm. and always be looking at bulls that will, meet the criteria that we're looking for, you know, because we're always wanting to, you know, stay ahead in genetics, you know, or try to be, you know, be in the top, you know, in the genetics as far as, you know, in your growth and your docility and your milk. You know, the cows have got to raise that calf. The cows has got to, you know, milk. So there's a lot.
They got to do some momming.
They do. They got to do their job as well, you know. So there's a lot of things that we look at when we're looking at bulls to match our cow herd. Mm-hmm. So, and you know, being able to, I'm a certified artificial insemination technician. And I did that for the reason of, one, you know, a friend of mine was like, hey, you'd be really good at that, you know, because I had skinnier arms, you know. And
mamas are going to appreciate that.
Right. And I'm like, okay, but I was also interested, you know, I was wanting to do that, but I really didn't know where to look.
I'm sorry. I'm over here about to laugh because somebody be like, dude, you would be so good at artificial insemination. You're like, okay, that's awesome. Cause I got skinny arms. Right. I mean, like, I do appreciate that. I appreciate dentists with little hands,
right?
You know, if they got to put both of them in my mouth, I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, I'm sure there's, yeah. There's some
a difference.
Well, like a farrier that's shorter, like it's just wonderful.
Right.
You know, different strokes for different folks and for different things that we can excel at.
Right.
So you actually went to school for that.
I did, yeah. And the school I went to, you know, was awesome. They did a really great job. I will never forget. They had the whole cervix and the horns and everything laying out on the table. And I remember the grabbing the cervix, and the guy's analogy was like, it feels like a chicken neck. And see, raised up on a, you know, with a big family, we did butcher chickens. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that totally is right. I mean, that felt like a chicken neck, you know, the cervix. And that's what you're looking for,
right.
You know, when you're,
whenever you're up in there
inseminating.
Well, that's like whenever, okay, so this podcast interview is not for people that are not agriculture. I'm sorry if you're now throwing up, okay? But whenever I clean out my horse's sheath and I'm trying to explain people, I was like, there's like two pockets in there, okay? The first one feels like it's got room for like two bedroom, two bath. It feels like it's got a lot of room. I was like, then you go through a smaller opening, and it's really small in there, okay? And then that's where you got to get a hold of him, all right? And I'm talking about his penis. And so then we can clean out, because horses are not circumcised, so there's like a dirty area right there that you've got to clean out, okay? So, but trying to explain that to people, I'm like, there's two pockets and then an opening. You got to find that opening. And they're like, ugh. And they're like, it is big in that first section. And I'm like, yeah. And it's just like a room, you know, that's part of where they're, because they retract, you know, for just like a dog. For the people that don't know horses, horses are like a dog, like they retract and pull back in their body. So it's not just out there. So anyways, yeah, so I could see that, like, oh, that cervix feels like a chicken neck. Okay, I've got it now. Now I know what a cervix feels like.
Right. So. And it's like, okay, now I know what I'm fishing for, because that's what you're doing, is you're basically fishing, you know, for that cervix. And some of them, if it's a heifer, I mean, they can be tiny. I mean, not much bigger than your thumbnail or the tip of your thumb. And then if it's an older cow, I mean, it's like huge, you know.
Okay.
But
this is not good news for a lot of people, okay? They're not liking the word huge, okay? Just established, okay?
Right.
We'll say it's established.
Right, you can definitely find it.
Oh, my God. See, that's wonderful things that, like right now, if you were a dude, this would be, like, awkward, you know?
Yeah.
But that's what's awesome about having women in the industry, because then you can talk and you can say things,
right.
You know, I mean, we can say things and that a guy couldn't say at all, or if he did, my husband would be so red faced right now. If I was, you know, if you were having this conversation with him, he'd be like, the weather is so nice. The weather's nice. You know, he would be so, you know, humiliated just because, but I love being able to talk real with another female in the ranching industry.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
We have a horse that's about to give birth in the next couple of weeks.
Exciting.
Oh, I'm so excited. So we had to take our horse off of a grass called fescue. Is there anything that you have to look out for during calving season? You ever had to pull any of them? Or
so fescue with the cattle industry, yeah, you have to watch. They call it endophyte. So you have to watch out for that.
So tell people what that is.
What endophyte is just, it's in the fescue. Mm-hmm. And it causes heat in the cattle. So if it's bad enough, I mean, they will have, you'll have cattle with rough coats. I mean, they can actually lose their feet. I mean, they can lose the switches off their tail. It just, it really
devastates them.
It does. It is a devastating. And then, and sometimes when you people bring in cattle from other states that aren't used to fescue, yeah, it's not good. They're not used to it. You know, so it's really devastating to them.
Okay. Well, and animals are so different. You know, like if you get cows from South Texas, boy, they are used to the heat, mm-hmm. and their ears are bigger, mm-hmm. you know, because just like elephants, there's different size ears of elephants. And it's because the bigger they are, the more vessels they are in, and it mm-hmm. can help heat leave their body faster. It's a cooling thing. So, like, I'm sure that the cattle, especially changing the foods that they're digesting and all the flora that's in their gut, I mean, I could see just changing the environment and what grasses that an animal's eating, it could devastate it, you know. You got to do gradual changes.
Right. And that's one great thing about our cattle is they're used to the fescue. Mm-hmm. So then, you know, they can go to other states, not a problem.
Right.
But it's the ones coming in, you know, from other states that aren't used to the fescue. It's okay. More of an issue.
Girl, that just kind of reminds me of, like, you know, a square is a rectangle, but a rectangle's not a square. You know, it's kind of like that. Like, they can leave, mm-hmm. but it's hard for them to come in.
Right.
So if people want to find you, well, hey, they have all sorts of options now because of you going through the coaching and everything. But how's it feel to have a website?
It feels great, and it also feels a little terrifying because okay. I'm not the type of person to be
out there.
You're
out there right now, by the way. This podcast has been downloaded in every state except for Vermont. Screw Vermont, apparently. Okay, I don't like y'all either, apparently, because you won't download my podcast. And then it's been downloaded in over 30 countries.
Wow.
So we're out there right now.
Right.
But we're only in my office, just you and me. And yeah. I got my assistant, Becca, here, and she's working. And it feels like it's small, but it's not. This is going to get out there.
Yeah.
So, but you're official. You have a website. Yeah, we spent 2 days. I love the coaching. You know, in the agriculture world, whenever I priced and I was like needing help with all the stuff that I know how to do now, right? Mm-hmm. All of the social media, the blogs, the websites, the hashtags, the search engine optimization. I mean, it's all this stuff that, and a lot of people are like, I'm scared to death. I just want to mm-hmm. be a farmer. The people that I went and talked to wanted $10,000 per business. I mean, they wanted $10,000 at the time we had a wedding venue,
wow.
$10,000 for the ranch, and they wanted $10,000 for what I do. And I was like, bro, I'm not spending $30,000. When I was a school teacher and I started teaching, I was making like less than $28,000 a year. And so I'm sorry, but $30,000, and I think about all the work that I did a year in my life, I just couldn't come up off of it.
Right.
I don't have those profit margins. I don't have anything like that to be spending on that. So, girl, it took me 10 years, but I learned how to do it all, and now I'm wanting to make that affordable for other people. Like for yourself, you have a website now.
I know.
Actually, we have two. She bought two URLs because just in case people messed up, they could still find her. So you actually bought Cuda Ranch mm-hmm. and then Cuda Limousine Ranch. But then if they type in Cuda Ranch, it's going to take them to Cuda Limousine Ranch.
Mm-hmm.
So Cuda, that name is Russian, right?
Yes.
It's a Russian mm-hmm. list. Do you know, last night, my husband just got a bunch of old paperwork from our ranch, because our ranch has been in the same family since 1906. Wow. He actually found where his great-grandfather became a citizen to the United States. Like, we found that paperwork last night. So do you know what generation your husband is? Is he third, fourth? He's probably fourth or fifth. Who knows?
Yeah.
My husband's fourth, but his family's a lot older. So I could see somebody being like a fifth generation would probably, his family all waited way late to have kids. Even though he's fourth generation, I think most people would have had another generation in there.
No, I'm so excited with, you know, what you've done. I've known Brandy, you know, like we talked about, for quite a while.
About 10 years almost. Yeah,
and I've seen how much she was growing, and I'm like, okay, I think she's the person I need to talk to get growing. I, you know, because I needed to get out there. I needed to get out of my comfort zone. You know.
Well, and you know what? It's not rocket science, but you have got to know. You just got to have a plan. You got to have a plan. You got to know what to post about. Mm-hmm. And having a website is vital, because social media, oh my gosh, no. I mean, it doesn't matter where you're at in the political world. Whoever wins or something, boy, they could take that stuff away real fast. Something bad could happen to Facebook, and it could be gone. Something could happen to X, which used to be Twitter, and it could be gone. Instagram could be gone. TikTok could be gone. Mm-hmm. You cannot put all your eggs in a basket. Mm-hmm. So we made sure that you have Facebook, mm-hmm. you have Instagram, mm-hmm. and you have a website.
Mm-hmm.
So, your website, Kuda, KUDA, okay, limousine. So make sure when you spell limousine, it's LIMOUSIN. Don't put the E on there, because that's the car.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so limousine and then ranch. Mm-hmm. So Kuda Limousine Ranch. .com. If you can't spell limousine, just do CudaRanch.com.
Mm-hmm.
And then her Instagram and her Facebook are also Kuda Limousine Ranch. And if you can't find it, if you go to her personal Facebook page, then it shows where she works at, and you can just click on Kuda Limousine Ranch, and it'll take you over to her professional Facebook page. Mm-hmm. So, all right. So that's it. If they'd like to get in touch with you, they can use your website, they can use your Facebook, they can use your Instagram. And any parting words, any advice for people trying to get into the cattle industry, like being first generation, like what's your parting words of advice?
Parting words of advice is just try to keep your eyes open and, you know, look for people that can help you in the areas that you need help in. So, you know, I found, you know, mentors along the way to help me that were willing to share their knowledge in cattle. And then I knew, you know, they were always pushing, you know, and helping me, you know, get where I wanted to be. And then, you know, the next step was just getting out there. And you just got to be willing to get out of your comfort zone. I'm not a fan of it. Nobody is. Yes. But you've got to if you want to grow.
Oh my gosh, girl, I love being out of my comfort zone. I don't know. I think that little bit of fear kind of, I thrive on it. I love it. I love being a little bit nervous, but then pushing forward. But then even with myself, like, we've started a new venture called Country Tough Homesteading. And I'm like, okay, this is a big, I mean, we squashed our wedding venue to start doing homesteading classes and to teach people and to bring these experts in. And it's such a beast. I do feel my, you know, I told you, I like to push myself, but mm-hmm. I will tell you, even that, I'm like, okay, all right. You know, whenever I was a school teacher, I used to tell the kids, how do you eat an elephant? And you eat it one bite at a time.
Right.
Baby and steps. So I have to remind myself all the time, you know, if I've got 5,000 things to do, do one.
Mm-hmm.
And then that number doesn't start with five. It starts with 4,999. Yeah. So, and if people would like to find me, I'm Brandy Von Holten. And the last name, it's a German last name. And it's V-O-N-H-O-L-T-E-N, Von Holten. And, or you can find Von Holten Ranch. We put our last name in it because we wanted to stand behind our products. And that's just like Kuda Limousine Ranch. All right. Thank you for tuning in to Country Tough with Brandy Von Holten.